Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Did you know that bombs or missiles are going into Israel? We're not even hearing it reported. That people are not even thinking it's a big deal. Over and over again, thousands of missiles have been fired into Israel. But just recently, it's been happening. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu criticized what he described as the world's silence over recent rocket attacks from the Gaza Strip, drawing a quick response from his country's closest ally, the U.S. In Germany, White House spokesman John Ernest said U.S. officials had spent a lot of time talking about this during Israel's recent war with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Netanyahu, speaking at his weekly cabinet meeting, said he hadn't heard anyone condemn three rocket attacks from Gaza over the past 2 weeks. The rockets caused no damage nor any injury. Early Sunday, the Israeli military carried out an airstrike in the Gaza Strip in response to the latest rocket attack from the Hamas-ruled territory.
Take a look at this. Look, right now, you're looking where missiles have come down. You're seeing right now as we speak, you know, this is what's happening in Israel. It's crazy that this is what's happening to our friends. People aren't talking about it. People aren't making a big deal about it. And it's like, hello, you know, as the church, we have to stand up. We have to call our congressmen, our senators, our representatives, write to the president and say, listen, we need to stand with Israel. We need to stand with them because we're looking today, right now, at this particular point in time, there's some sort of organized effort to be able to, as they said, to blacken the name of Israel. And that's like blackening the name of God, the apple of God's eye. I mean, think about the verbiage and the context of that. Well, when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stands up for this kind of stuff happening, they begin to tell him, he's like, as a matter of fact, they call him like a party pooper. Can you believe that? It's like, what are you talking about? Take a look at what the news is happening right now.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he knows he is often portrayed as, quote, a nuclear party pooper, but he says he isn't the only voice in the Middle East opposed to a nuclear deal with Iran.
I speak with quite a few of our neighbors, more than you think. And I want to tell you that nobody in this region believes this deal will block Iran's path to the bomb.
Netanyahu was speaking at a conference in Herzliya Tuesday, just days after his former policy leader, Dori Gold, appeared publicly with a Saudi Arabian general to discuss Iran. June 30th is the target date for a comprehensive deal that would curb Iran's nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief.
We think about a nuclear party pooper. What is, when you're actually, you're fighting for your life. When people are saying they want to get nuclear weapons, nuclear power, nuclear capabilities, they're saying they want to wipe you off the face of the map, and you're actually saying we don't want them to have these weapons. You're saying I want my people to live. And what's interesting, too, that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said, listen, we've been meeting for quite some time. We've been talking, the leaders of these nations in the Middle East, we've been talking. No one wants Iran to be able to have these nuclear weapons and nuclear capabilities. The Ayatollah, the real leader of Iran, he's saying, even tweeting on his little Twitter account, that they want to see Israel pushed into the sea. If you read the Quran says, it wants to do away with every Jew on the face of the earth. It is a belief system, especially for radical Islamists and jihadists. When you think about it, they want to rid the earth of any Jew and any Christian. We're seeing that take place right now. We have to stand with Israel. We have to stand with the Christians that are being persecuted. Just the other day on The Blaze, on a television program, they stated that in the last 10 years, David Barton said this with Wall Builder Ministries, that in the last 10 years, more Christians have been killed than the last 2,000 years. In the church, Christians aren't even standing up for Christians. It's time for us to say, wait a minute, we got to wake up, shake ourselves and say, Lord, we're going to stand up for you and we're going to stand up for Israel. When we get back from this break, we're going to take a look again, because we've been over the last couple of days looking at how God has blessed Israel. He said, I'm going to bless you, Israel, to be a blessing to all nations. And they have. When you think about the agriculture, the water, the healthcare industry, and today we're going to be talking specifically about how technology, so many technical things, has come out of Israel, and Israel's just giving it away or blessing other nations with it. We have been so blessed by Israel, And they're actually promoting the idea and the concept, as you see the bombings taking place, the missiles shooting into Israel, of saying Israel's bad. How could, Israel's not bad. It's the people who are calling Israel bad who's bad. As a matter of fact, make sure you join us at the break, because you're going to be shown again how beautiful it is that the hand of God has blessed Israel to be a blessing to the nations.
When you look at, you know, what's, you know, imagine every day people go, oh, the traffic, the lights longer than normal, or I didn't get my raise, or they raised the price of cappuccino at Starbucks. These questions, you know, these troubling issues. You know, my teenager talked back to me. I mean, every day Israel has to decide how we're going to survive.
Living in the crosshairs of their enemies.
Yes. And so, I mean, in every moment of the day, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's saying, I, you know, this is what I do. I have, this is my responsibility. That's where never again also comes from his own personal experience. He had an uncle or a relative in Europe that, just for being a Jew, got beat up and left for dead almost in a subway. And he realized how powerless he felt and how disempowered. And he's like, we just can't just sit by while our brothers are being, and that's why it's no man left behind. They do not, they go after everyone that's been taken or whatever. And so imagine these missiles flying into your community and your neighborhood every single day. I mean, and then you have America, the leaders of America saying, you know, Israel is bad. We need to blacken the, they're blackening the eye of every decision
some,
that you make.
Some leaders.
They're supporting some leaders. Yes. The ones that are talking.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have, with that, you have, it's like the world's against you. And prophetically, in the Bible, it's written, all nations will turn against you. 7 years ago, you know, we thought this would never happen. Today, it's happening right now, this very moment. You know, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, is negotiating under the leadership of our president to disempower Israel, to empower Iran, and to all those different things we talked about the Green Party. And when they wrote for help, they didn't come for their help.
Yeah. Well, it's important to be in prayer, too, because by June 30th, they're supposed to come with a decision, a final decision, about a potentially a nuclear-armed Iran. And so my understanding is that even with the John Kerry's injury, with bike injury, that's not to stop. Yeah, it's not going to stop anything.
Well, there's a lot of things coming due in June. And by the way, I believe that it's already began May the 1st, and we're moving into the last part of these four blood moons. And I like what Lance Wallow says. You know, I was looking out the wrong window of my hotel trying to find the red moon, and I missed the whole thing. So it's not about the moons, but it's about what's going to happen during those times. And I think June is the month that whoever's doing all this organizing picked to just light this fire that's going to do some significant things. But let me tell you what I believe it's going to do. It's going to bring in a great harvest, because the church is going to awaken. We're going to repent, and we're going to be about the Father's business, and we're going to stand with Israel. So when you see what you're about to see right now in regards to technology, how God has blessed Israel, I'll bless you, Israel, to be a blessing to the nations. That's exactly what they're doing. Today, you're using technology today that God blessed Israel with the ability to be able to create, to invent, and make available to the whole nation. As a matter of fact, let's take a look right now.
On April 15, 2013, two bombs exploded during the Boston Marathon, killing three people and injuring 264 others. For the next 3 days, investigators reportedly used a high-tech system called BriefCam to analyze local surveillance video. Hours of video are condensed into minutes, and experts can zoom in on suspicious actions, like a backpack being left behind. BriefCam's video synopsis was instrumental in identifying the two bombers, and the technology was made in Israel.
Technology is going to change all of our lives. It already has, and what's coming down the pike is going to be even more intense.
Israel has often been called the startup nation. And while Jerusalem may be the spiritual heart of the country, Tel Aviv is the center of its startup success. Just a century ago, this thriving city was little more than a series of sand dunes. Today, it's been voted the second best high-tech center in the world, just after Silicon Valley.
Israel was recently ranked the fourth most innovative nation in the world from the iPhone to the PlayStation. Many of the ideas behind your favorite gadgets came from inventors right here in Israel.
Flip-top cell phones, keyboards for smartphones, Intel Pentium chips, the ability to print straight from your computer, the flash drive, the chip in the iPad, the OS that runs the Amazon Kindle, the chip that controls the Sony PlayStation, and the 3D sensor in the Xbox Kinect. Every year, American companies are shelling out more and more shekels to buy small Israeli startups. The latest example is Waze, an Israeli smartphone app that gives live traffic reports based on your location. It warns users about traffic jams, accidents, and even sitting police cars. In 2011, Waze made headlines by helping drivers navigate the LA traffic jam known as Carmageddon. 2 years later, Google bought the program for just under $1 billion, making it the most expensive app in history.
I think the key challenge for Israeli companies now is to go from startup nation to scale-up nation. We need to build bigger companies, not just sell them early to American multinationals, but to actually get them bigger, to get them into the sales process, and to create more jobs both here and in America and around the world.
So what gives Israel its technological edge? We asked some of the country's most prominent business leaders, and the answer is, there's no single answer.
Chutzpah is perhaps the most definitive Jewish word. Very, very hard to translate. Gall, unrelenting daring, this ability to try to do something which nobody else has done before, to say something which is a little bit out of place, to be in someone's face. That chutzpah is what allows us to actually break the boundaries and to break the rules and to go out of our comfort zone in order to create new things. There's a joke about what is the Jewish answer? It's a question, right? In other words, Jews will answer a question with a question.
That culture of challenging and debating and arguing, it's everywhere in Israel. Arguing is healthy because you get to better answers, you get to better results. And I think that is a key cultural attribute in Israel's economic success story and its economic miracle.
Our roots, our education, maybe even that it's coming from the Talmud, is always being skeptical and asking questions. And I believe this tradition, this culture, it's a part of our DNA.
Whether you call it the Socratic method or the Talmudic method, you choose it. That's a big part of how we learn and how we teach our kids. If you were looking for a single group to basically make your ideal pool of entrepreneurs, you couldn't look for a better group than immigrants. Immigrants make great entrepreneurs because they already did it in their own lives. They were the CEO of MyLife.com. They took risk, they moved to a foreign country, they had to handle legal and facilities and HR to get jobs and banking and marketing, and they basically had to scale up. Innovation has a direct correlation to diversity. If you all think alike, you all act alike, I'm sorry, it's not going to be a particularly creative place.
In Jewish life, parents always advocated to the kid that he has to learn and also that he has to venture if he wants to succeed. They always say that the secret source of the Israeli high tech is the Jewish mother who asks her son at the age of 7, after all what we have done for you, asking you for one Nobel Prize, is it really too much?
Yossi Vardi is known as the godfather of Israel's high-tech industry. He's invested in more than 80 internet startups, including a company started by his son.
Came with three of his friends. I gave them the money. I didn't have much of an idea what they're going to do. But still, I gave them the money. They created this unbelievable product, and the rest is history, as they say.
That unbelievable product was ICQ, the world's first instant messaging service. Less than a year later, America Online bought the company for $400 million.
very hard to extract the DNA of success. You have to understand, if you venture, you cannot do only successes, because if you are trying to be involved in area where there are only successes, you are not taking risks. So failure comes with the territory.
Failure is not a four-letter word. The last time I looked, failure is part of the process. Not every team wins every game, but you gotta try, and if you fail, you gotta learn from your mistakes and then pick yourself up and do it right again.
Are the failure rates lower in Israel than they are in the rest of the world? And they're not. Israelis don't fail any less. The difference is they just keep trying.
People don't understand, for example, if you're presented the choice of investing in two entrepreneurs, one who's actually never tried it before, one who's tried and failed. Always take the guy who has tried and failed. Your statistical odds of getting a return on your investment are far better with that person.
If you're looking for the next generation of high-tech success stories in Israel, you won't find them in business school. In most job interviews here, the big question isn't where you went to college, but where you served in the military.
When I get a resume, the first thing I look at is, what did this kid do in the Army? I don't look at the university, I look at the Army unit, because that's gonna tell me a lot about who that person is.
In Israel, almost every single Israeli serves in the military. Almost every single Israeli is put through this training in how to lead, how to manage, how to make very difficult decisions with very little information under enormous pressure. And these skills hardwire young people for being entrepreneurs and launching and running or helping to run startups.
We give the chance for every soldier to express himself and to say what he really believes without punishing him because his rank is a lower rank. So I have to tell you that sometimes listening to these officers, they raise a lot of stupid ideas in my point of view, 40, 50, 60%, but 20, 30, 40% are wonderful ideas.
Once they're out of the Army, soldiers take the same skills they've learned tracking terrorists and use them to make life safer for civilians. Israelis have developed everything from bomb-sniffing mice to software that prevents identity theft, to a scanner that lets you keep your shoes on during security checks at the airport. Many Israeli IT companies are founded by alumni of an elite military intelligence unit known as 8200, a highly secretive group that specializes in cyber warfare. Unit 8200 is believed to be the brains behind the Stuxnet virus that targeted Iran's nuclear facilities.
In my company, in the R&D team, 80% of the engineers are coming from Unit 8200.
Major General Aharon Farkash was the commander of Unit 8200 for 4 years. And when he retired from the Army, he used that experience to help design a security system known as SafeRise, a virtual doorman that uses both voice and facial recognition to protect offices and apartment buildings.
Welcome to FST.
Israelis are proud to say that many of their high-tech ideas come from their experience in the Army, an idea some say could also benefit American companies.
American businesses have a lot to learn with how Israel has integrated their military people when they're coming out of the military into the economy.
It's really got to be part, I think, of everybody's culture. And certainly the heroes who are coming back in America from Iraq and from Afghanistan, they need to be the first guys to get the jobs because they have actually taken leadership and led, and they're the kind of people who you want to hire.
Think about it. Think about that, that this boycott, divestment and sanctions, there are people who have misguided values or intentional evil hearts towards Israel.
An agenda, no less.
An agenda are saying, boycott them. Don't buy their products. like Orange. You know, Orange is a big mobile cell phone company. People, all can name products for days that people are doing that too. In regards to divestment, in other words, you know, don't invest any more money there, they're saying. And thirdly, you know, have sanctions against them. Now, Iran, they're wanting to lift the sanctions on Iran, who has a goal of producing nuclear weapons to destroy Israel.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
Shouldn't that be the place where the boycotts start?
And so you're looking at, we have something, when you heard this particular one that we're talking about with technology, they said something about, you know, Jews that you'll see them debating, and their answer to the question is a question. And a lot of people get frustrated with that, but that actually is how you understand something. I mean, look at Jesus. When people ask Jesus a question, he would ask them a question, because you can learn about people's heart when you're talking. You can learn about the issue. And in Germany, they had a czar or whatever, you know, ruler over Germany. World War One happened. When World War One happened, they got a democracy. In a democracy, you debate. You talk back and forth. You say, you know, I think this, I think that. Then you take a vote. And they were very uncomfortable with the democracy. They were uncomfortable with people debating the issues. And they said, you know, they felt like this is not right. And so the parliament, who was a democracy, voted themselves out of existence. And they wanted a single man rule. And guess who was a single man rule?
Who was it?
Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
And he began to take it. And they actually felt comfortable because it was almost like that czar type thing going on. Democracy exists in the atmosphere of debate.
I mean, battle of ideas.
The
right?
battle of ideas and the land of laws that we honor. And so when you see what's going on, it's time for us as Christians and as Americans to get some chutzpah.
Yeah.
And to say, you know, quit throwing up the flag and giving up every 5 seconds. We should push and try and question and, you know, all these different things. And we learn from that. But when a vote happens, you know, it's a vote.
Yeah.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.